SBS Radio.
Brexit means Brexit.
Brexit is unumstossbar.
Rocket Man should have been handled a long time ago. He's fired!
Au nom du peuple français!
Wir schaffen das.
Make our planet great again.
Don't worry, be happy.
I will kill you if you destroy my country.
Better is always possible.
I ain't spending any time on it.
Hello, I'm Brett Mason, in the gallery and out of the budget lockup for SBS World News. It's been a huge week for our team here in Canberra, covering the annual fiscal theatrics, which were, let's be honest, immediately overshadowed by five resignations after the High Court found ACT Labor Senator Katie Gallagher was ineligible to sit in the Parliament. That forced the hand of Centre Alliance MP Rebecca Sharkey.
I apologise to the people of Mayo for this turn in events and for the inconvenience a by-election will cause my community.
And Labor's Justine Kay.
I want to make it very clear to every member of my community and every member of this House that I am not done working and fighting on behalf of those who sent me here.
Yeah. Josh Wilson.
This has been a difficult process. The people in my electorate have been good-humoured about it. And when we sang the Australian anthem and we got to the bit where it said that we had boundless plains to share, there was an old Rotary representative next to me and he clapped me on the shoulder and he said, lucky for you.
And Susan Lamb.
I am not done. Speaker, this is not a valedictory speech, let me be very clear. I'm putting the government on notice that while ultimately this decision will lay in the hands of the amazing people of Longman, I intend to be back.
Section 44 of the Constitution has now forced 15 MPs and senators from Parliament. And while the Coalition has been quick to mock Bill Shorten for repeatedly insisting that none of his team would be caught up in the saga...
We have a strict vetting process. There's no cloud over any of our people. Let's be straight here.
Oh, I am more than satisfied that Labor MPs for our vetting process...
Can you guarantee rather than more than satisfied?
Yes, I am. Yes.
Roll gold.
Yes, I am very confident.
It is worth remembering the Prime Minister himself said this about Barnaby Joyce.
The Leader of the National Party, the Deputy Prime Minister, is qualified to sit in this House and the High Court will so hold.
And as if the budget papers and mass resignations wasn't enough for our team, we've also been keeping an eye on Eurovision in Lisbon. And it turns out we're not the only song contest fans in Parliament. Here's the Foreign Minister.
Eurovision is a celebration that brings the world's diverse multicultural communities together. And who better to represent Australia than Jessica Mauboy? I've been waiting for tonight to watch as you kick up your heels in Portugal in front of 200 million people for the world's biggest song competition. Jessica, with your vivacious personality and your incredible voice, you've already made Australia and our Indigenous people proud. I also congratulate SBS. For 30 years, you've brought Eurovision into lounge rooms across the country. To everyone watching tonight, enjoy, and we all wish Jessica the best of luck. Go, Jess!
In a moment, we'll hear from Scott Morrison and Chris Bowen, but first, Miles Morgan breaks down the week in numbers.
Thanks, Brett. It was a charged week in federal politics, which saw the Coalition unveil a budget which it says puts Australia back on a path to its first surplus in 10 years. But the budget headlines didn't last long. Less than 24 hours after its release, five politicians were disqualified or resigned from Parliament, the latest casualties in the dual citizenship fiasco. But first to the budget, and Treasurer Scott Morrison set the scene for the latest economic snapshot of the nation's finances.
The Australian economy is now pulling out of one of the toughest periods we have faced in generations. Our national economy is strengthening. But it is also true that the benefits are yet to reach everyone, and this will take more time. That is why it is important to stick to our plan. We are close to our destination, and we must stick to our plan.
Speculation about what the plan was had been building for weeks, and it was finally revealed on Tuesday night with the release of the budget. The Treasurer says Australia will return to a very slim surplus of $2.2 billion in 2019, a year earlier than its last forecast. See, surpluses have eluded Australian governments since 2008. The government says it's on track because of record jobs growth and more revenue. And what did they choose to do with the extra money? Well, Scott Morrison said there would be tax relief for millions of Australians earning up to $90,000 a year.
4.4 million taxpayers with an income between $48,000 and $90,000 will receive the maximum tax relief of $530. For middle-income households with both parents working on average wages, this will boost their kitchen table budget by more than $1,000 every year.
It's almost certainly the final budget before next year's federal election, so it's easy to see why the debt and deficit disaster the Coalition accused Labor of initiating suddenly disappeared. Now voters are getting money in their pockets and the economy is looking better. But the opposition leader, Bill Shorten, isn't buying it.
I think that the government truly believes that they can con the Australian people for 10 bucks a week. This budget is a shocker for low and middle income Australians.
The opposition also unveiled its economic plan this week, the traditional budget reply. Bill Shorten says he'll spend more on schools and hospitals if he wins the next election, and he committed to bigger tax cuts sooner for Australians.
Mr. Speaker, I'm pleased to advise that in our first budget, we will deliver a bigger, better and fairer tax cut for 10 million working Australians. Almost double, in fact, what the government offered on Tuesday.
But the budget debate has been overshadowed by a horror day for the Labor Party. The High Court ruled Labor Senator Katie Gallagher was ineligible to sit in Parliament because she didn't take reasonable steps to renounce her British citizenship before she was elected. Four other MPs in similar situations, Labor's Justine Kay, Susan Lamb and Josh Wilson, and Independent Rebecca Sharkey, then quickly resigned in the hours after the decision. So in one day, five political careers had ended and Australians in four states will have to vote in by-elections. It's especially embarrassing for opposition leader Bill Shorten, who claimed for months that Labor had strict vetting processes for its candidates and none of his colleagues would be caught out by the citizenship drama. He effectively blamed Labor's lawyers.
The Labor Party has relied on an interpretation of a 1992 High Court case, and today the High Court, in our opinion and the opinion of other experts, has significantly tightened the restrictions. And so whether or not I like it doesn't really matter. It is now the law and that's the one we're going to follow. I'll keep moving around.
It's difficult to see a bright side for Bill Shorten here, and he's now under immense pressure. He says the by-elections will be a vote on the Turnbull government's budget, but it will be just as much a vote on how much Australians really rate him as Labor leader, a proposition put to Labor MP Anthony Albanese, who narrowly lost the leadership to Bill Shorten in 2013.
If the by-elections don't go Labor's way, will there be a leadership ballot at the National Conference?
For goodness sake, what a stupid question.
Thank you, Miles, and I spoke with the Treasurer just after he handed down his third budget on Tuesday night.
Well, Treasurer, welcome back to SBS. It's always good to see you.
Yeah, thanks.
One of your colleagues described this as the Oprah budget. You get a tax cut, you get a tax cut, everyone gets a tax cut, when what Australia really needs is a Dr. Phil budget. They need a very cold, hard, sobering discussion about debt. What does this budget do to pay down our $500 trillion gross national debt?
Well, the net debt falls by $230 billion over 10 years, and it pays down from now. And we've reached the turning point on where debt has come to. The gross debt figure can be misleading because what that deals with it, A, for a start, it's $126 billion less than what we estimated just last December, point one. But point two is the reason we're using gross debt to pay for unfunded superannuation liabilities is because we don't want to raid the future fund. If you raid the future fund to pay for these things, then yes, gross debt would be less. But the future fund is earning at about 7-8%. Debt is costs about 2.7 to 3%. So it would be an unwise financial decision to make gross debt lower for that, at the expense of the taxpayer at the end of the day.
When did debt and deficit stop being a looming disaster?
Well, debt and deficit has never stopped being important, and the deficit has halved in the last 2 years, and we move back to an earlier balance, very modest, we know, in 2019-20, a year ahead of where we had previously projected, building to stronger surpluses, up to 1% of GDP over the medium term. But as I say, net debt, which is at the end of the day what costs the taxpayer. Net debt is what determines what your interest bill is, and that interest bill over the forwards is $2.2 billion less than it is at the start.
You must admit, though, it's still a staggering debt. It's a bit like telling a mum and dad with a credit card bill just to ignore it, it'll go away, when the reality is that the longer it sits there, the more expensive it becomes to pay off.
Well, net debt will fall to 3.8% of GDP over the next 10 years.
It's now, still more than $500 trillion, though. No, that's a lot of money.
It won't be at that in 10 years, the net debt. It'll be well down on that. It'll be down $230 billion and more. Now, that is the steepest reduction in net debt that we've seen on any projection coming out of a budget since we weren't in debt.
Turning now to baby boomers, once again, they're the big winners out of this budget, as they tend to be. What's in this budget for young people, people who've never been able to afford their first home? Baby boomers are helping, getting assistance to stay in their homes when they retire. Mm. There are many people who are earning a lot of money, young people, who can't afford to buy their first home.
In last year's budget, and they have that available right now, they have a tax cut for first home buyers, which means they'll be able to save 30% faster than they could otherwise, because we're giving them the same tax concessions for their first home savings as they get on their superannuation. Now, that's in there. They can go and access that right now. That is a big tax cut for first home buyers. It's important. It was part of the measure we introduced last year, and it's out there and ready to go. But, you know, people starting out in their jobs, walking out of the, you know, training and workplaces, they are in the very zone of the lower and middle income tax brackets, which we're focusing on in terms of tax relief, which starts on the 1st of July.
But there are many people who are professionals who are earning a very good salary who constantly complain that they can't afford to buy their first home. What's in this budget for them? I'll ask you again.
Well, I just told you, they're getting the first home savers tax discount. That's there. It's in there. It exists now. Please go and take it.
And you think it will make a difference?
It'll enable them to save 30% faster for their first home.
You've spoken about the importance of getting people into work. You and the Prime Minister are very proud of the jobs growth in Australia. What about the 3,500 refugees every year who, under this budget, will now have to wait longer to get government assistance to find their first job here in Australia?
Well, we provide the best settlement services for refugees that come to Australia of any country in the world. That's recognised by the international agencies. I recall that from my time when I was immigration minister. So when it comes to supporting people who come to Australia, I mean, Australians can hold their heads up high, as can this government. But at the same time, you know, we have our priorities, and you know, we invite people to come to this country to make a contribution, not take one. And we don't apologise for ensuring that we have welfare systems that don't encourage abuse of the system or encourage more people to come and jump on boats.
Hospital bed numbers are at their lowest of all time, yet we're seeing visas for 200 GPs being stripped from this budget. Surely Australia needs more doctors and not fewer.
Well, we're having 3,000 more doctors in rural and regional areas as a result of this plan, and particularly our Murray-Darling plan, and 3,000 more nurses in rural and regional Australia. So we're actually delivering through our workforce strategy more doctors into rural and regional areas. That's what we're delivering. That's what the plan does.
It's the biggest savings measure in the budget paper. So are you really saying that there are too many GPs in Australia, that we need fewer GPs and communities? Because I think that many people would find that very difficult to believe.
Well, they can make their own assessments, but what I do know is our plan is getting 3,000 more doctors into rural and regional areas, and we're putting five new medical schools throughout the Murray-Darling area, as well as one in Western Australia, and that is actually about training more doctors, Australian doctors, to go out there and work in rural and regional areas, and I think that's great.
Where did this extra money come from? You talk about it being a non-accidental surplus 1 year earlier than expected. But isn't the reality that most of this economic success is due to the global economic circumstance? We know that the global economic markets have had their best performance in around 6 years. How much has that contributed to this coming to surplus 1 year earlier than expected?
Well, that helps. But you know, I wish it were that easy. I wish it were that easy, that you just have to wait for someone to do something offshore and apparently all your lights light up. That's not how it works. I mean, we have put Australia in a position to really grow as a result of global growth. I mean, look what we've done on the export trade deals. No country has done as well as us when it comes to striking deals all around the world. For our farmers, for our service providers, for our manufacturers, we've invested in research, in technology, in science. We've backed in a defence industry plan, which is seeing people who used to make cars now working as in defence contracting. I mean, we're seeing our economy transition. I mean, $80 billion was ripped out of the Australian economy off the back of the mining investment boom. And we've managed to keep the economy both growing and transitioning. You know, of that over 400,000 people who got a job, one in five of those jobs went to men aged over 55. Now, they were the people who were supposed to get left behind. Under this government, they got jobs.
How much money have you set aside for an election? We know there will be one probably in the next year. How much money have you set aside? Many economists have said that there is extra money in the kitty this budget, that you've held something back.
Well, I don't know what they're basing that on.
So there's not an election war chest of funds sat there? You've spent all that you can in this budget?
Well, we prepare every statement based on how we see the economy at the time and how we're seeing collections, how we're seeing our programs perform. And that's what the job of putting a budget together is. And you seek to provision for the future but at the same and provide for the services. You mentioned hospitals before. I mean, our new hospitals agreements with the states and territories being signed on to. I mean, this is a significant boost for hospital funding all around the country. So, look, we'll keep investing in the essential services, but the only reason we can do it is a stronger economy. And if you do things that harm the economy by jacking up taxes, having taxes at unsustainable levels, which is what our opponents want to do, well, you just harm the economy. And when you harm the economy, you harm everything else.
You had your cabinet meeting yesterday. Mm. You started this year in a very good mood. Mm. Julie Bishop said that the mood within the coalition had never been so good coming out of the Christmas break. Then, of course, there have been quite a few distractions. Mm. How confident are you that this is an election-winning budget?
Well, I don't make those judgments, and that's not how I put them together. Australians will make their own decision, but wherever Australians are tonight, when I delivered the budget, whatever they're doing, with their families or not with their families, in work, out of work, the stronger economy we're building for the next 10 years is going to help them, and a weaker economy will harm them. And we're for a stronger economy.
Scott Morrison, thank you very much.
Thanks a lot.
As I sat down with Scott Morrison, our senior political reporter Maria Zivic caught up with Shadow Treasurer Chris Bowen just down the hallway.
Well, this is a budget which still sees $80 billion being given away in a corporate tax cut, but still makes Australians work until they're 70 to get the age pension, and still takes away the energy supplement, $14 a fortnight for people on the pension and Newstart. So a lot of the mistakes that this government's made in the past are still right there in this budget.
Is it a bit sour grapes for Labor, given that the government's really sort of sharpened its attack against Labor's franking credits move with all of its, you know, offerings for pensioners, trying to keep them in their homes longer, things like
that? Well, offerings for pensioners, making them work until they're 70, taking away their energy supplement, $14 a fortnight going forward. Of course, there are some things in this budget that we welcome, but this is a cruel hoax of a budget. We've got aged care package, in-home care package, which is no new money for the budget, no new money for aged care, moving money around. We want to see people better off, but we want to see them better off in a real way, and this is just a hoax.
And so the election battle lines have been very clearly drawn. We'll leave you this week with the perfect post-budget week pick-me-up, Jessica Mauboy performing for Australia at the Eurovision Song Contest in Lisbon. Have a great weekend.
SBS acknowledges the Ngunnawal people who are the traditional custodians of the land on which the Australian Parliament sits and where this program was recorded. We pay respect to the elders of the Ngunnawal Nation, both past and present.
Enjoy more stories in your language by visiting sbs.com.au.